The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. How are you doing?
Okay, Tov. Yesterday I spoke about a suspected oil slick and oil spill that had been sighted off the coast of Netanya. Well, the minister of the our environment minister, Tamar Sundberg, yesterday said that this is not an oil spill, that this is a stain, that they're calling it now, off the Israeli coast that has yet to be identified in terms of what it really is. So it had the appearances of an oil spill, and the Environmental Protection Ministry, various environmental agencies sent ships out, marine vessels, to go and investigate the situation, because last year we were caught somewhat unaware with an oil spill that eventually did come ashore and caused quite an environmental disaster along Israel's coast. So there was a determination not to be caught short again, and this time around it was sighted 20 kilometers off the coast, but it's absolutely not an oil spill. We don't know what it is, and further tests are being conducted in the water to try and determine exactly what the source of this particular stain is. Samples have been taken. There were apparently dispersants sprayed into the water, and lots of science going on there to try and determine exactly what it is. An interesting phenomenon off the coast at the moment.
It really is. It'll be interesting to find out what it is ultimately. Defense Minister Benny Gantz arrived yesterday in Bahrain for an unannounced visit.
Yeah, so this is the first time that an Israeli defense minister has visited Bahrain since the signing of the Abraham Accords and the entering into of diplomatic relations between Israel and Bahrain. And Benny Gantz yesterday landed in Manama, the capital of Bahrain. It was all very secretive. For security reasons, we are told it was all very secretive. Not only the fact that Benny Gantz actually traveled to Bahrain at all, but the fact that he also flew again through Saudi airspace to facilitate his flight. And he, as the Minister of Defense, would have been flying on some sort of a defense airplane, some sort of a military aircraft, to head out on this international visit. We understand from what we have been told, and I'm sure we're not being told nearly as much as what's really going down on the ground, but the fact is that we are told at least that he's due to sign some security agreements with his Bahraini counterpart as Israel and Bahrain look to try to solidify their military and security ties between the two countries. It's very interesting that we're really getting to the nitty-gritty of things, whereas initially when we entered into these Abraham Accords, it seemed to be largely about trade and economic cooperation, things which are kind of less sensitive, let's say. Now we're getting down to some really more tachless business in terms of security and military cooperation, and always in the background, and I say this almost in every conversation that we have, but in the background looms the shadow of Iran against everybody, not only against
isn't it a bit ironic that it's probably Iran has done more for peace in the region in terms of Israel than anything else, which is not really what their intention is.
I do agree that it's highly ironic, and you know the famous saying is that the enemy of your enemy
is your friend. Absolutely.
And that's really the way that things have been working out, and we've seen during the course of Prime Minister Naftali Bennett's visit during the course of President Herzog's visit, to the United Arab Emirates this week, that there were all kinds of security issues there, with missiles being fired and with drones encroaching, drones that have been presented some sort of a threat encroaching into airspace in the United Arab Emirates. And of course, the logical thing for the Emiratis would be to cooperate with Israel, because Israel seems to have found solutions to many of these issues. By the way, the Emiratis seem to be doing pretty well themselves, because with all these missiles being fired so far, we haven't heard of any problems, any missiles that have actually landed within populated areas, despite the fact that there have been more than one or two missile attacks coming, particularly from the Houthis. But also, you know, one has to remember that Iran stands behind all of this. And so Benny Gantz, again, is in Bahrain. Apparently, he will meet with further top Bahrain officials, including King Hamad, and Crown Prince, the Prime Minister, Salman bin Hamad, as well as the Minister of Defense and other senior officials before he plans to return to Israel later this evening. And just another statement that Benny Gantz made yesterday, which took some of us by surprise, is the fact that Israel has apparently offered Lebanon military, assistance on at least four occasions over the past 12 months, as recently as last week. So this is Israel offering a country with whom Israel has no diplomatic relations and in fact has a border which is not a friendly border, it's a hostile border. And this is Israel offering that country, and in particular that country's military, assistance. It just seems all very convoluted and unexpected. And I think that this is really, again, all about Iran in the background, because the intention with offering the Lebanese military some assistance would be somehow to weaken Hezbollah, who have very significant military control, particularly in the southern Lebanon area. So by strengthening the Lebanese military, we could potentially weaken Hezbollah. And of course, that is an Iranian proxy, which is located in southern Lebanon, which presents a significant threat to Israel and potentially also to Lebanon. And I think that that's where the real little the little wrinkle lies. As Benny Gantz has said, we are not enemies of the Lebanese people, and we would like to befriend them in the same way as numerous Israeli leaders have said about the Iranian people. We are not enemies of the people of Iran. We are simply enemies against those who seek to destroy Israel. And unfortunately, in Iran, they are in the government at the moment. They are in the regime. Whereas in Lebanon, it's slightly more complicated.
Well, the Iranian government is in government in Lebanon as well, from everything I understand. So the same could be equally applied.
Right. So, of course, the Hezbollah link there is very significant and very noticeable. And, you know, it's just a whole bunch of unexpected things that you would never have thought 3, 4, 5 years ago could really take place. Is it possible that Israel is offering Lebanese military assistance? Is it possible that the defense minister in Bahrain to sign military and security cooperation agreements? All highly unexpected.
Yeah, it's and of course we know what's going on in Lebanon as well. The government totally corrupt, unfortunately, and causing tremendous hardship for people in the country. It's an absolute disaster in that area, and certainly we're seeing that with Iranian influence. It has been reported that police hacked the phone of a key individual in the Netanyahu trial. This is a strange story.
Well, this is just a rolling story, and a lot of it is predicated upon the story about the Pegasus software, which is produced by the Israeli company NSO, and which has come in for a lot of negative press, not only internally within Israel, but indeed around the world. Was Pegasus used? The latest story on Pegasus, just to draw another story into this one, is that the FBI in the United States have now acknowledged that they do have, or they did have, a license to use Pegasus, but they never used it. Of course, they would have purchased that license, which I'm sure came at the cost of a few bob here or there. They would have purchased that license, but they would never have used it. I think that this Pegasus software, well, not I think, but I've heard it described as in the security industry, gold. That's the way that it's described. And even though it's coming for such negative publicity, and people have said, how can NSO survive all of this negative publicity? But within the security arena, this is something which is quite unique, And, you know, therefore, it seems as if the NSO, in spite of all of this negativity, is here to stay, at least for the time being. And the latest, of course, is within the Israeli police themselves, because at one stage, the police were accused of hacking the phones of Israeli citizens without getting the necessary authority to do so. They, of course, denied knowing anything about it. We've never heard of this. Who's NSO? What's Pegasus anyway? Now it's transpired that they do acknowledge that it has been used against certain individuals in an unauthorized way. And one of them, apparently, is Shlomo Filber, who is a very well-known figure within the Netanyahu trial. He is a former director general of the Ministry of Communications, a long-time confidant of former Prime Minister Netanyahu, and he has turned state witness in the case which has been brought against Netanyahu and against Shaul Alyovich in terms of cooperation between the private sector and the government in order to try to somehow present the Prime Minister, the former Prime Minister and his family in a more positive light in the press arena, in return for which favors were to be granted to companies that were owned by Shaul Alyovich. And of course, Shlomo Filber is one of the key witnesses in, I think, what is considered to be one of the more serious of the trials that former Prime Minister Netanyahu is undertaking at the moment. And now it transpires, apparently, that the police have used this spy software on Shlomo Filber's phone in order to download images, in order to download emails, in order to download details of contacts on his phone. I mean, there are no secrets, people. Just be aware of that, that in this world in which we live, when you think you've got things privately concealed on your phone behind lock and key, behind passwords which are 65 characters long, then don't believe for a moment that anything is safe, because really it's not safe. And with these kinds of software, the type of people that they've got working at NSO, who are super smart and very, very fast moving, responding to all the latest technological developments, attempts to close holes being brought by the various phone companies. They are simply one step ahead of the game all the time. And so far, nothing has seems to have been able to close down their ability to really interrogate your phone and to get all the information that is needed to whoever has planted this secret piece of software on your phone. And apparently, they've managed to get a huge amount of information off Shlomo Filber's phone. I'm guessing that that information will not be admissible in a court. I'm guessing so, because it seems to have been acquired in an unauthorized way, and therefore the logical legal conclusion would be that it would be inadmissible. But who the hell knows? It's one of those things where you just don't know where this is going to go.
Absolutely. The two IDF officers have been dismissed over the death of a Palestinian a few weeks ago. Tell us the story.
Yeah, so this is a very, very unfortunate story about an event which took place a few weeks ago in the Israeli army, where an elderly Palestinian, also American citizen, excuse me, was found dead after having been detained by Israeli troops at a checkpoint. And we are told that he was uncooperative, that he didn't wish to cooperate with the checkpoint, that the interrogation that went on at the checkpoint, that he had been arrested, and he had been, apparently his hands had been bound, and that he somehow, over a period of time, was left to die, which is, you know, obviously a very, very serious issue. The IDF took this up. Two IDF officers have been dismissed from their positions immediately, and a third, a battalion commander, was formally censured over the death of this person. And the IDF described this as a moral failure and poor decision making. So, I mean, even though the words seem to be carefully chosen, very, very serious allegations made against these officers who have behaved in a way that would not be expected of them by the IDF. And, you know, just the point that needs to be made here is that within an army like the IDF, where you've got so many different people doing different jobs at any moment in time, it's absolutely impossible to police everybody and to check that everything that they do is according to the rules. And there will be from time to time people who go off the track and who behave in a way which is not within keeping with the way in which IDF officers are expected to behave. And so therefore, we need to have, first of all, an ability to identify these, to be willing to admit that mistakes have been made. Unfortunately, in this case, a person has died, which is extremely unfortunate and not what we would want at all. And more than that, to take action against these people in order to ensure that there is a clear message sent that these type of people are not welcome within the military and these types of behaviors are unacceptable. And in this particular instance, the IDF Chief of Staff, Lieutenant General Aviv Kochavi, has been vocal. He has made statements about this. He has admitted to it. He said that this is not okay. These people will 100%. Be dismissed. There is a question as to whether they shouldn't even be charged with the offenses that were conducted. I'm guessing that if they haven't been charged, then there probably is a difficult case to bring and may not well be in the best interests of all concerned. This is a very, very serious issue. Unfortunately, we understand that the individual died of cardiac arrest due to the stress which was induced by his arrest. And so, yeah, I mean, our condolences to his family, a very, very unfortunate event, not something that we are proud of, but something that we need to accept happens in an army like the IDF. Unfortunately, that's just the way things go.
And the most important thing here is that it's brought to light, that it is spoken about, it is dealt with so that it can be avoided in the future. I don't think you can say that about many other of the regimes in the area. Anthony Rach, thank you. As always, we'll catch you on Monday. Wishing you a fantastic weekend, a Shabbat Shalom, and we'll speak to you next week.